suppose I wasn't supposed to say that. But it is disturbing that this bill was changed so late in the game, to the point where most of us weren't able to be told by the members of our parties who sat through the first two hearings what this bill was about. The members who were supposed to educate us weren't able to come to us and say, this is what this bill does, because the bill was rewritten after they heard it. And then on top of that, we didn't get to hear what the public had to say about the bill because the bill was sped through committee. So here's my litmus test. If 5 members from affected coastal communities can stand up and rebut the points that have been made from the districts, District 3 and District 35 just made now, if 5 members from those affected coastal communities can stand up and say why this is such a great bill and why those points are wrong, I'll vote for it. Thank you.
Representative Rogberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At the request of the municipality of Anchorage, I will stand and say that there was a letter distributed to all legislators yesterday, I believe today, on the floor, signed by 12 individuals from coastal districts opposing this particular legislation. The letter listed a signature of a municipality of Anchorage planner. And for the record, Mr. Speaker, the municipality of Anchorage has previously expressed its support for HB 191 and repeated that support to me today. The municipality of Anchorage currently issues coastal management permits in-house as part of the one-stop shop for applicants. And the municipality was assured several weeks ago that nothing in the bill will change that in-house permitting at the local permit center. That's local control. Finally, the municipality supports the governor's efforts to streamline the permitting process through this legislation. As a result, the municipality withdraws its name from and rejects the content of the May 6th letter opposing the legislation, and the municipality of Anchorage urges its Anchorage legislators to support HB 191.
Mr. Minority Leader.
I was waiting for 4 more people to stand up first, Mr. Speaker. But I guess I'll be disappointed.
They're excused.
Now, Mr. Speaker, arrogance is a terrible curse. But I see its fingerprints all throughout this bill. I see a disdain for the public and for the public process throughout this bill. Not just with how the bill moved through, but the subject matter of it. We need to listen to the people who sent us here. It's our obligation. One of the foundations of Alaskan governance is local control, is giving to the local level the ability to make decisions that affect local lives. This piece of legislation moves in the opposite direction. We can't speak of other legislation. I don't know if we can speak of administrative orders, but it's a consistent theme, and it's a theme that I think we ought to take great notice of and express great reservation about. This legislation is also incredibly divisive. It's a wasted opportunity. I think all Alaskans who deal with the coastal management program recognize that it could be improved. And we're willing to work together to make it a better program, because the fruits of a successful program are fruits that we all feed from: more development, better quality of life. And instead, the overtures that were made from the local communities, from those in my caucus who are going to vote no today, were rejected because certain people just knew better. They're arrogant. It's a terrible curse. We could have done something to bring Alaskans together to make development more likely, but instead we're left with a product that reflects very poorly on the political process, that has, at best, uncertain results for development, and in my opinion, will compromise our ability to develop the state as Alaskans want to develop. It will compromise it because this is going to result in increased litigation, increased delays, increased permitting problems. My friend from District 8 very eloquently talked about doing it right. And he talked about the consequences when we do it wrong here. We like to think that we exist in a little bubble where only Alaskans pay attention to what we do. And yet every year we send money outside trying to persuade members from the other 48 states, the 49 states, that we want to take charge of our own resources. And when we do it wrong, it makes it harder and harder for us to win that argument. And this is doing it wrong. It's doing it wrong. Reference was made to a letter. I'd like to read some of that letter. Because Anchorage, at least the current administration in Anchorage, and there's a lesson there. There's some very important paragraphs. If I could read a few excerpts from the letter, Mr. Speaker. It appears this bill reduces the credibility of the Coastal Management Program, limits local authority, deletes local enforceable policies, requires costly plan revisions, and centralizes control and authority in the Departments of Natural Resources and Environmental Conservation at the expense of local districts. Central control, command economies. These bills further limit local control by making DEC statutes and regulations the exclusive enforceable policies of the coastal program for the purposes governed by these authorities. Coastal districts will only be able to develop enforceable policies that relate to matters not covered by DEC statutes or regulations. So the assurances given to my friend, the rules chairman in Anchorage, appear to be empty. This legislation applies a one-size-fits-all approach to resource planning and permitting decisions in the coastal zone of Alaska. While the legislation as presented does not contain a fiscal note for the state, it presents a significant fiscal impact to the coastal districts who want to be able to bring an element of local knowledge to the permitting process. Local people will pick up the tab for what we're doing here today. And I think most telling is due deference to local communities and districts within coastal zones is essentially eliminated by this legislation. Alaska's long history of resource uses has resulted in local expertise and knowledge, which is also represented in local coastal plans. The loss of due deference strikes at the heart of community voice in management of its coastal resources. This bill would remove local control and influence over the very lands and waters people depend on. Could have brought people together. We could have produced a product that we could all be proud of. We could have done something that would have aided development. Instead, thank for producing a product that's tainted by the arrogance that helped paint it.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question. There is a call placed on the House. Stand at ease. I believe the call has been satisfied. Representative Katula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In short response, because I think it's just incorrect, I need to respond to the member from District 27 who has said that there just won't be any changes. You know, Anchorage may very well issue its own local permit. I don't know. I know that they do have a coastal management program, and that the state coastal program does not issue a permit. It gives a consistency determination. So there might be a local permit under local zoning authorities. But let me tell you, this will be greatly affected. Anchorage's coastal district program, like almost every one of ours, we almost all of us live in a coastal district, those programs will all be affected. Local municipal powers are not going to hold up against the federal government. And unless the Corps of Engineers has delegated authority to your municipality, you will, at a minimum, have that very great issue to deal with when the Corps comes in on dredge and fill projects or other issues. Anchorage's program will change. That is what this bill is about. And any policy that Anchorage's program has that deals with DEC will be gone. Their enforceable policies, unless they can fit through that eye of the needle, will be gone. You will be left with what the representative from Homer described, your own little local authorities. And it's going to not only be confusing, it's going to be very difficult for all of us to take that huge step backwards into our own little jurisdictional corners rather than working together and sharing power. Just in conclusion, I've heard this bill described as spring cleaning, and if this is the kind of spring cleaning we see, it reminds me of a whirlwind or a tornado, and I hope that we don't do this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Curtula. If you're ready for the question before the House is the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 191, Finance amended. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Clerk, tally the board.
25 yeas, 10 nays.
And so the House has passed committee substitute for House Bill 191, Finance. Mr. Majority Leader.
I move the effective date.
There is an objection to movement, adoption of the effective date clause. Under debate, question before the House is the adoption of the effective date clause. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change your vote? Clerk, tally the board.
27 yeas, 8 nays.
So the House has adopted the effective date clause. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's calendar?
There are citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citations on today's calendar be adopted. Approved.
Without objection, those citations on the calendar will be approved. Under brings us down to unfinished business. Under unfinished business. Representative Holm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Transportation Committee would like to request that HB 273 be waived out of transportation to judiciary. It is a liability bill with on recreational activity and really has a little bearing to do with transportation.
And you have the signatures of all the members?
Yes, I do.
I'll stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative. Shelton Harris, please take your seats. We're all moving slow this time of the evening. Under unfinished business, Representative Masick.
Mr. Speaker, on unfinished business, I move to withdraw House Bill 300.
We have a motion on the floor to waive 273. Mr. Speaker, there wasn't at ease.
Okay, the motion. Hold off on that motion. The motion before us is the waiving of. What number was that? House Bill 273 out of transportation into judiciary. There was the signatures of all the members. Is there an objection? No objection. Thank you. Representative McGuire. Representative Masick.
Mr. Speaker, I know it's very late. I just moved to withdraw House Bill 300. Thank
you,
Mr. Speaker.
And the title of that bill is?
An Act Repealing ELF.
Okay, the motion before us is the withdrawal as the prime sponsor of House Bill 300. Without objection, that bill will be withdrawn. Further unfinished business.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we I move and ask unanimous consent that we go into the members go into the limbo file.
Without objection, members are in the limbo file.
Mr. Speaker, take up this time House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 105 Hess. Mr. Speaker, I move the House recede from its amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 105 Hess amended, effective date failed, namely House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 105 Hess, and recommend that the members vote yes.
The motion before the body is shall the House recede for amendments to House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 105 Hess, thus adopting Committee Substitute Senate Bill 105 Hess amended, effective date failed. There is an objection. Is there debate?
Mr. Speaker,
Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We had the bill we had the bill here and we passed it, and it was pretty unanimous when we passed it, and we sent it over there. They didn't agree with it, and I think we need to go to conferees on this. And basically what it said was that the Denali kid care, we wanted to freeze it at 200%, and the Senate wants to bring it down to 150%. Or 175, I'm sorry.
Okay. Is there further debate? Representative Hawker? At ease? House, please come back to order. This is my stuff. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to make sure everybody understood what we're voting on here. And if you want it to stay at 200%, you vote no. If you want it to go up to down to 175, you vote yes.
Clear as mud. Further debate on the receding motion. Oh, jeez. Yeah. He's here. Call has been satisfied. Under debate. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thanks very much. Things are getting kind of quiet here. As you recall, this whole subject was the one that led to a little spirited confrontation the other day between, between myself and everyone else, not much different than most bills. But I thought we'd reach some kind of agreement in the House that we were going to do things a certain way. Why are we retreating from it? Why is anyone backing down? You can't back down now from those guys down the hall. If you do it now, they'll smell blood. They'll be after you every time. Every time. And I don't know what's going to happen in conference committee. But we ought to send this thing to conference committee if we disagree with them. Stand up for them. Stand up for the House. Stand up for the 25% of the people who are in the margins here, and at least give them a fighting shot at it. Let's let this have some spirited discussion. Let's see where the public weighs in on this. Let's do a little bit of fighting here for the House. Come on.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I happen to support what we did on the House floor, and I'll leave it at that. But I'd kind of like to echo what my friend the Minority Leader said. We haven't had many opportunities as a body to take a position with the other body where we disagree. And this is a precedent. It's the beginning of the conference process. We can always re-examine the situation. But I think it is important in negotiating with the unnamed other body that we stand up for what we believe in, because this is the first of a number of bills that we may disagree. And we all have an oar in this, because regardless of what our position is on this bill particularly, it is important that we stand up for each other in a bipartisan way, because that negotiating position is what we're going to be living and dying on in the next couple of years. And I know my friend the minority leader said it in a little different manner, but historically, that has been extremely important in dealing with the folks at the other end of the hall.
Representative Groomberg, further debate? Again, the question before the House is, shall the House recede from our amendments to House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 105 Hess, thus adopting Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 105 Hess amended, effective date failed? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change your vote? Clerk, tally the board.
23 yeas, 12 nays.
And so the House has receded from our amendments to House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 105 Hess, thus adopting Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 105 Hess amended. Effective date failed. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. The members go into the limbo file again at this time to take up Committee Substitute for House Bill 127, State Affairs. And the representative from District 10 will discuss the amendments from the other body.
Without objection, we are in the limbo file. Consider House Bill 127. Representative Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If this is the last bill that we consider today, it will be a pleasant experience to end the day on a rather non-contentious note. The changes made by the other body are minimal, and in fact, they are rather definitive and useful. I could make reference to page numbers and lines, and if requested to do so, I will. However, having said that, if the members are willing to forego that detailed discussion, I would recommend that we vote to concur with the Senate, with the other body. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Actually, it's quite appropriate that we do something for roadside memorials after we rolled over on the last bill.
Representative McGuire.
Yeah, I have a question for the member from District 10. Who is going to start the clock? I see that the most significant change that's troubling to me is the addition on page 1, line 6, of for a period of not more than 2 years. I want to know who starts the clock, who stops it, and I guess further, I just have a concern that for some folks, 2 years may not be long enough to remember their loved one.
Representative Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The simple and easy answer to the question is, I don't know. I suppose regulation to follow would be the appropriate answer. If it's the members' wish that we take this to a conference committee, that is certainly an option. Again, I recommend that we don't. Thank you.
Further debate. Question before the House is, shall the House concur in the Senate changes to Committee Substitute for House Bill 127, State Affairs, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 127, State Affairs, amended Senate? We'll make the motion. Mr. Majority Leader.
With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House concur with the Senate amendments to Committee Substitute for House Bill 127, State Affairs, thus adopting Committee Substitute for House Bill 127, State Affairs, amended Senate, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Okay. I needed to practice. Again, the question before the House is, shall the House concur in the Senate changes to Committee Substitute for House Bill 127, State Affairs, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 127, State Affairs, amended Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Anyone wish to change their vote? Clerk, tally the board.
26 yeas, 8 nays.
So the House has concurred and the Senate changes. The committee substitute for House Bill 127, State Affairs, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 127, State Affairs, amended Senate. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the following representatives be excused from a call of the House for the following times. Representative Kukesh from the call of the House from noon, 5 p.m. Thursday. I'm sorry. Call of the House from 5 p.m. Thursday, May 8th. I will withdraw that because I think that there's an error in the script on that one, on the way it's written. So I'll ask the representative here in a moment. But Representative McGuire from morning playtime Saturday, May 10th, until morning playing time Monday, May 12th. Brief at ease to consult with one of the members.
I'll stand at ease. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sorry for the mix-up, but that was the excuse that I would ask unanimous consent for is Representative Kukesh on Thursday, May 8th from noon to 5 p.m.
Without objection, those members will be shown excused on the dates and times indicated by the Majority Leader. Is there further unfinished business? We're back down to committee announcements, unless there's anything new. Representative McGuire.
The Judiciary Committee will be meeting at 3:30 p.m. tomorrow in the Judiciary Chambers.
Representative Fate.
There is still scheduled, right after this session, a Resource Committee in 124.
Resources immediately following the session. Representative Masick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under committee announcements pending our floor session, we'll plan to have a transportation meeting at 1:30 tomorrow. That's pending how we do our business tomorrow.
Okay. Further committee announcements? Special orders. Mr. Minority Leader.
Why we fight.
Without objection.
You know, Mr. Speaker, I look up at that board. I see a lot of E's up there. Most of them, unfortunately, are members of my caucus. Too many of them are in the hospital. But the reason why we fight in the minority is to stand up for people who sometimes don't get heard often enough. And I'm disappointed with how quickly and how quietly we acquiesced in the debate over Denali Kid Care. That's a program that served Alaska well. And we signaled a huge retreat today with, I think, very little public process in this House on the difference between 200% and 175%. That's not the right way of doing business. That's not the House way of doing business. If we have disagreements, they should be robust, they should be vibrant, we should hear about it. We're the people's body. We're supposed to talk about things. That's why I have no intention of ever moving down the hall. I've noticed a certain lack of everything down there. But, you know, we have an obligation here, and I think we didn't do our duty tonight. I think we should have fought harder, not just because of this particular bill, but because the whole art of negotiating and into session is very complex. It requires all different levels of trust, trust between minority and majority, majority and majority, minority and minority, House and Senate. We have to trust third floor. And there's very little of that trust around here these days. And part of the reason is the public process in the last few weeks is horribly strained. We've been on this floor a long time. We've been working a long time today. Part of it's we got these interminable rolling committees. I don't think that serves the process very well. I don't think it serves the public very well. But we're supposed to fight for what we believe in. We took an oath to do that. And when we don't, I have to start wondering why. You know, what is it that happened out of my earshot that convinced people who were strong advocates of 200% to back down? What don't I know? What don't the people of the state know? What explanation can we give to the 25% of people who are now going to be cut out of Denali Kid Care? 12.5% going to be cut out. What do we tell them? Sorry, we just, you know, had a procedural motion, didn't feel like standing up to the other body. It's the end of session, we were tired. Don't worry, you'll be able to get health care somewhere else. Really? Take 2 aspirin, put on a Band-Aid, it'll be fine. There's legitimate policy reasons why you could go to 175, and I'd be willing to listen to them. But this House sent out of this chamber a 200% number. And when we say something, we need to mean it. Because when we don't mean it, it makes ending this session that much more difficult. It makes building the trust that much more difficult. It makes constructing a fiscal plan that much more impossible. And I know what people are saying around here, that this can be done, you can get out of here without the minority, that you can run roughshod over the minority's concerns because you don't need the votes. You might not need the votes here in this building, but you need the votes across the state. Because this state is only 25% Republican. Only 25% Republican. 60% of Alaskans aren't with either party. And don't ever forget that. Things turn quickly here politically. And if you don't hear footsteps, then all you need to do is look at the Anchorage election. Those footsteps are coming. But the opportunity to work with us is still here. The opportunity to stand up for the things that this House stands up for is still here. And we ought to do that. So I'm asking, next time there's a reason for this House majority to back down on something, tell us why you're doing it. Might not agree with you, but at least I'll understand. Because if you want my help with something, you need to get my trust. And when you back down without telling me why you do it, you make it that much harder for me to trust you.
Representative Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Permission to speak about a subject that need be broached.
Without objection.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In response to the minority leader, in part, one of the things we learn in this world we call the legislature is to be thick-skinned. We also learn to be very respectful of one another. And so it is with the greatest respect that I respond to the minority leader. The notion that there was backing down, I don't know that that was an issue with regard to the decision that was made today. I think what was at issue with regard to the decision that was made today is, firstly, our state's fiscal situation. We have a dilemma, and we need to deal with it. But equally as important, the notion of personal responsibility and the level at which, monetarily, the state should intercede with regard to personal responsibility, and by interceding in this particular case, intercede by providing medical coverage. What we receded from today, and I think my numbers are correct, is this. We did not agree to pay for a family of four, if I may refer to this, Mr. Speaker, thank you. We did not agree to pay for a family of four with an income of $53,401. We did not agree to pay their medical insurance. I think our statement was clear. With that level of income, it is your responsibility to pay your medical insurance. I'll just skip through this very quickly. A family of seven, an income of $82,532. We said, no, we're not going to pay your medical insurance. You are responsible for that. A family of 10, $119,523. We said, no, we're not going to pay your medical insurance. So, Mr. Speaker, I think it's fair to say that we didn't back down from anything. We simply looked at the numbers and said, we can do better than this. We can be better managers of the state's resources than this. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Whitaker. Representative Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sorry the minority leader thinks that we're running roughshod over the minority. I don't believe it's that. We're not backing down, Mr. Speaker. But you know, what our biggest issue today is the lack of money, managing our financial resources. There's an article in today's Daily News, state's bonding rating at risk. If I might read just a paragraph of it. A message from the state's New York-based financial advisors could aid the push to get a sales tax through the legislature. Government Finance Associates said it believes the state's bonding ratings will be lowered in the next few months because the legislators have not moved the session toward a long-term fix for the state's huge recurring budget shortfall. We may have to reduce the Denali Kid Care altogether if we don't watch how we manage our financial resources. We may hurt, and we probably are, some of the people that are getting there. We have to watch what we've been doing. The minority leader has been here for 6 years or so, since we first started our long-term plan that came out in 99 that was voted on and voted down. I'm not going to go into the reason that was voted down, but the reason that we put it forward with everybody on this floor at that time, the majority, a large majority, I think was 30 of us, bipartisan support, was because of the same problem we're here talking about reducing spending. Today it's real. We have $1.9 billion in the bank today. We have to watch how we spend our money, not only because of the state's bonding at risk, which could cost us millions of dollars, but because in 2 years, we won't be saying whether or not how much we should lower that or what we can do without, or we go and ask the seniors if we should continue on with them, with all, or education, or transportation, keeping those fully funded. We're going to cut everything at that time. We don't have the luxury anymore, Mr. Speaker. So it's good to get up here and say, and talk to the TV, that we are being irresponsible. We are not being irresponsible, Mr. Speaker. I believe we are being very responsible for how we are dealing with the problem that is before us today. We're working very hard, like the minority leader said. We are. Here it is, 8 o'clock at night. And our committees are going back to work. We are trying to get ourselves out of this so we don't fall off the cliff in another year and a half, 2 years. So, Mr. Speaker, I hope that the people out there in TV land will pay attention to what we're talking about. The minority leader is saying one thing, I'm saying another thing. Keep us honest. I'm asking those people out there to keep us honest. Talk to us. Ask us, how come the minority leader is talking this way? How come you're talking that way? Don't take it for granted, TV land. Keep us honest. Thank you.
Without objection, you can speak on that same subject. Representative Guerra.
Permission to speak on a very bad way to debate, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection.
What just happened on the Denali Kid Care bill, Mr. Speaker, was a surprise to me, and I think it's also because I'm new here. But we had a debate yesterday about a different bill than what we just passed today. And many of us were caught flat-footed. I had no idea it was coming. 2 days ago, we argued about whether a version of a Denali KidCare bill that by FY 2009 will knock 2,200 people off the insurance rolls was an acceptable thing to do. And the debate here was, is that an acceptable number? Is that not an acceptable number? And budget arguments were made, and all the arguments in the world were made. And ultimately, the majority of this body said, yes, we're willing to reduce benefits by that amount. And the minority had its day, and we were heard. We thought it was a bad idea. And then today, another untold number of thousands of people were knocked off the rolls. But nobody stood up to say that they supported the amendments, or the version of this bill that the other body was proposing. And I guess I naively assumed that that meant that the debate as we made it the other day stood, that the majority was comfortable with a bill that cut 2,269 people off the rolls, but not more. But without any mention, and I'm not saying anybody did anything wrong, but I'm saying that maybe we should notify each other if we're going to do something like this in the future. Without notifying anybody, at least I wasn't notified, I don't know that any of the members of the minority party were notified, without notifying anybody that another couple thousand people were going to be knocked off the rolls, we just had a vote that did that. If I knew that we were going to knock another 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 people off the rolls, we don't know how many more people we knocked off because our fiscal note relates to the House version of the bill. If I knew that that was going to happen, I think we would have had a debate on this floor as to whether that was reasonable. The other day we had a debate on the floor about knocking this many people off the rolls, but if we knew that today we were going to knock this many people off, I think we would have had another debate. I don't disagree with the representative from the Finance Committee or the minority leader, that they both have valid points worthy of consideration. But I guess I would ask, if there is support for receding from a House position in the future, that somebody on the floor let the rest of us know that they're going to vote that way, and I guess we'll have a debate on the bill that we're about to vote in. But we just voted in what I think is a terrible bill, essentially without any debate. I don't think it's the right way to do things. It's probably the way things have always been done around here, and I guess I'll notify people that I'm going to change my vote if there's silence on that issue in the future. And I hope at least one person would in the future on any other vote that we recede from, just so we can then have a debate about the bill we're going to pass out.
Thank you, Representative Gira. Representative Cotulla.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know the hour's late, and I unfortunately still have to go to another committee meeting tonight. But the topic is the way things are done around here.
Without objection?
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I couldn't help, when I was listening to some of the debate tonight, to notice two things. The first thing is, I think that we're really starting to sink. We're starting to see a little bit of ad hominem attacks against the person. And I really think that that's not the way things are done around here. It's not the way that I remember things being done, at least, when I was fortunate enough to sit in the gallery as a child and watch it. The second thing is, in Alaska, we built this state when there was no money. We didn't have roads. We didn't have schools. We didn't have health care. But those were the things we put first. We put people first. It's not the way things are done in Alaska to start taking our cuts on people first. So it worries me when I hear our incredibly bright freshman member from Anchorage get up and say, well, maybe that's the way things are done around here. Because I don't think it is, and I don't want to go there. And I hope the other members will stop even getting close to being personal in their speech and to think of.
This will be brief. On that point.
An objection on that point.
Okay. I got a publication dropped off in my office. I am assuming it came to the mailbox, but I would suggest everyone look at this, who pays, and it looks at all of the states in the union and the taxation and the percentage of taxation. You come to Alaska, and it is totally different than any other state. And who pays? It's non-tax in the United States, in Alaska. Non-tax is 70% of what they show as our composition of revenues. 70% is non-tax. I assume that's the federal government. I know I have heard all this session that we're supposed to be tough and do the tough stuff. And in 1995, I started attending the long-range fiscal policy planning, whatever it was. At that time, I've also been a part of this body's, in the past 5 years, efforts at looking at budgets. There are other ways of doing this. We're not looking at a menu. We're not looking at a plan. And I think this body needs to show some leadership. We are a separate house. We are a separate body from the administration, and I think we could do it, but we have to have the guts and the willingness to try something different than what we're doing, and that's balancing things on children. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cisner. Representative Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Normally I wouldn't rise, but I want to comment on the topic being end of session. The minority leader.
No objection.
Thank you. The minority leader made some mention about having to work together for the end of session, and I wholly agree with that. I'd like to also echo the comments of my friend from Juneau from District 3. I'm a fourth-generation Alaskan, not as long as some members are here, but longer than most. And I grew up in the state as well that had very little. We grew up in schools that the state pretty much funded entirely. We were lucky to have our roads plowed a lot of times and a whole bunch of things. We didn't even think about some of the medical care that we offer in the state today, which we're very fortunate to have. But a lot of us grew up without that. Some people say I didn't grow up, so I'll leave it at that. But Mr. Speaker, I'd just like to say this. I think I, for one, don't take the minority or the Democrats lightly at all. I attempt to work with them at every opportunity, and I think many members do here. I won't speak for everybody, but I think that most members do. And it's imperative that we do get along. And there's always going to be the majority-minority issues. There's no doubt about that. I think if we were in the minority, we would be treated as we were in the minority, and that's just the way it should be in government. But it doesn't mean we should be put down or that the majority should put the minority down or anything of that nature, and I don't think any of us espouse to that. And I hope that we don't. And as we get close to the end of the session, as we are now, that we will all work together civilly, and we'll work for the betterment of all the people of the state of Alaska as best we can. Mr. Speaker, we certainly have issues to deal with. We have fiscal issues to deal with in this state that as we continue to grow closer and closer to the end of the constitutional budget reserve, that we have less and less pots of money to deal with to fund the services that we know in the state of Alaska. And the people of the state of Alaska are going to have to pay. They're going to have to pay something to continue those. And if they're not willing to pay, then they are going to have less services. That's just the way it is. And I think the public is coming to that understanding, and now we're trying to figure out how to do that, how to make it have a soft landing, one that we can preserve as many services as possible, but yet knowing that we probably aren't going to offer all the services that we used to offer when we had a lot of money. So, Mr. Speaker, I'll end with just saying that I hope we can continue to work civilly. You'll certainly have my pledge to do that with all the minority members, and I ask that all members treat each other that way. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Harris. Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under lessons from our elders.
Without objection.
Last week, I think it was last week, it seems so long ago now, the drafters and the signers who were left, who were able to travel to Juneau, were here. And we had the opportunity to go down and listen to them in a pretty spirited discussion. Some of us couldn't make it. I understand there were there were commitments, there was a caucus, and things were going on. I wish everybody did. They always reveal things from the past that are enlightening. And what they revealed to me last week was something that I didn't know, that the Constitutional Convention had a committee called the Committee of Style and Drafting. What they would do, from what I understand, is they would, when people had resolutions or positions they wanted to put on the into the Constitution, the document that we live off of, not just statewide, but on a national basis also, and we all look back on it as just so holy relics and guidance for what we do today. When they would have adopted something, the Committee of Style and Drafting would talk to them about, what do you really mean? What do you really want to do? And they would render it down until the words were so special and they have so much more meaning to us than endless lines of political dialogue. In this body, we sometimes, I think we should adopt the same situation where, you know, we're talking about some things, and when we have decided what it is, then we go off and we render it down to it's actually what it is. But I think in the whole context of having style, you also have to have some backbone and stand up for something. And there's two different bodies on this floor that deal with things at the end of session. And we have to stand up for what we believe in, and we have to do it with style. And if we back down on everything that we disagree on with the other body, we have neither.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be very brief. I'd like to speak on the current problem and what some people are doing about it.
Without objection.
I'd like to thank a lot of people in this body, both parties, people who are getting up at 7 in the morning to join us on the Ways and Means Committee. I know a lot of my friends have been there, both sides of the aisle. And I hope you continue to come, because this is a problem that underlies what we've been talking about tonight, what we've been talking about this week, this month, this whole session. And just coming out and listening to the issues that are discussed and the testimony that's given is the first step to dealing with the problems. The bills are starting to move out of the committee, and they're moving to all the other committees virtually, well, maybe with a few exceptions, but virtually almost every other committee will be getting stuff from the Ways and Means Committee. And we may disagree about an issue like the Nally Kids Care or whatever, but the thing we should agree on, every person on this floor, and hopefully every person in this state, is that we do have a problem. And I would hope that every person in this floor also agrees that we have got to meet the challenge. And we cannot act as a bunch of ostriches. That's not our state symbol, and that's not good public policy. The view from the sand is lousy. And I hope that the rest of the people who come in the morning can join us in the Ways and Means and help us deal with the problem.
For the special orders, Representatives Hines.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know my colleague behind me spoke as a freshman. There's quite a few of us here.
You're seeking the floor under what topic?
Oh, I'm sorry, under disappointment.
Without objection.
My colleague behind me spoke as a freshman, and I can only speak for myself, but there's quite a few of us freshmen. I feel that as I look around this body, I see some faces that I see disappointment on, I see hurt, I see trust that's been broken, and I think we are making a legacy here by what we do and how we act. And for my part, if I've been any part of any of that, then I apologize, because that is the last thing that this body should be doing. I'm very proud of this institution, and I'm proud of every single person in it, and I will do whatever I can to rectify anything in any part of this. Thank you.
Representative Hines. Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak on a dissenting view.
Without objection.
debated a long time as to whether I should get up and say this, because this is certainly a dissenting view from my caucus. And I voted for not to recede to the Senate. I mean, to the other body, excuse me, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
But I did so because I want people to have access to health care. But I really and truly believe that government should be the last resort to provide that health care. I mean, I believe that we're going in the wrong direction as far as providing health care for Alaskans. A quarter of Alaska's families don't have health care, and they depend on the state. I think that's wrong. I think that we should depend on private business here. I mean, all throughout America, people get their health care through their job. And I think it's unfair that so many employers in Alaska skate on their responsibility to provide that health care. We're going to have a real problem here in the next couple of years. I mean, obviously, everybody on this floor knows that we're about to drop off the cliff. We're going to have to cut back services drastically. We're going to have to cut back the government spending, and the way I see to do that is to put the responsibility where it actually lays, and that's with our employers here in Alaska. That's who ought to be providing the health care, and we're not, I think it's irresponsible of us to not look at where the real responsibility lays. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Representative Crawford. Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Permission to speak on time crunches and impending deadlines.
Crunches and deadlines.
Thank you, Mr.
Without objection.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This Sunday is Mother's Day.
And you're only one phone call away from a florist. Mr. Minority Leader.
In wrap-up, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Minority Leader, without objection, in wrap-up.
Thank you very much. This is why this body is the best body in this state. And we can discuss things. My good friend from District 10, he made good points. I wish he'd have made them during the debate, and I encourage him to do that in the future. Because without debate, I can't learn, I can't change my mind. I think that's very important. It gets tiresome standing up saying no all the time or pointing things out that are wrong. I'd like more people who are trying to say yes to stand up and tell us why my perspective might be incorrect. See the good lady behind him who offered some very kind sentiments, and I take it to heart. See people all around this body who I've worked hard with on many occasions and fought with on others. But what distinguishes this body from the other is that we can fight hard on the floor and stay friends in spite of everything that goes on. You know, my friend from Saxman behind me was talking to TV Land. I'm not talking to anyone but 40 of us in here, or I wish there were 40 of us in here now. We have a special honor and a special responsibility. And I think all of us hold that very dear. Whether it comes to dealing with the fiscal gap, whether we're working hard on it, whether we're trying to plow through old solutions or devise new ones, the only way we can get through this, the only way we can get through this and lead the state is if we do it together. If we try and do this as Democrats and Republicans, we will fail. If there is a plan that is rolled out solely by the Republican Party, and the governor, who is a Republican, it will fail. I guarantee it. If the Democrats do nothing but sit back and wait for that failure, we haven't led. we haven't shouldered our share of the responsibility. It would be the politically expedient thing to do. But the only way we can work together is for people to ask our help. And it's not enough for just members of this body to ask our help. And I've been through a lot with you, Mr. Speaker, over these years. And I know you'd be there to ask. But the time isn't quite right until other people are willing to join with us. But when that time comes, I'll be there. All you need to do is ask me. Thank you.
Ask and you shall receive. Well, in that case, you've asked for it. You're going to get it. Mr. Minority Leader.
I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 191.
I thought you had missed the opportunity reconsideration is given. The state in history back in 1885, Alfred P. Swineford took office as the second governor of the District of Alaska. He was appointed by President Cleveland. The state in history back in 1915 began the start of World War I. It was on this date in 1941 that the Glenn Miller Band and his orchestra recorded that big band classic Chattanooga Choo Choo. You ever had the feeling that your lips should have come with instructions? Chattanooga Choo Choo, yeah, that's it. And it was this date, 98 years ago, the Flexible Flyer trademark began operation. It was a Canadian company that still exists today that manufactures popular sleds for kids of all ages. And finally, this day in history, 20 years ago today, Barbara then became Barbara Lounsbury and married my staff member, Joel. And finally, it's been said that the only function of economic forecasting is to make astrology look respectable. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Thursday, May 8th.
Adjourn until tomorrow, 10 a.m.